Don't stop me now.
Quick, don't stop me
now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. All right. So
are we though? Wow, yeah. I wish I could sing that well. That's,
quick,
that's impressive,
and
actually.
Dirty, thanks. I used to be in bands, dude. That's what happens.
Like, there's no explanation.
Kind of a big deal. Just brush off the shoulder a little bit.
Yeah, right, and there's no explanation. There's no furthering of the background. You know, I used to be in bands.
Yeah,
which
to
one?
Bands.
Bands.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I'll tell you guys off stream. I used to be in bands. Oh, I used to be in bands around town. I used to be in bands around Indianapolis, and we would go out and tour. Mm-hmm. I was in a regionally touring band, which is
actually a big deal. I'm impressed.
We made a little bit of money, not because of me or anything, but it
so
was.
That's
it was fun.
Why you look so good. You were a lead part in a band. All right.
Yeah, he was a boy band. Yeah,
got it.
You were the lead voice actor.
I was the lead voice actor in the band. Yes, I was always doing Rick and Morty impressions.
I love it. So it's like you weren't even singing in the band. You were just some guy they brought.
I'm just off to the side. I'm just off to the side, and I'm like, I don't know, Rick. I don't think we should be here.
Shut up, Morty.
Yeah, shut up, Morty.
There's a band. You shut up.
It's like
I can't wait to see these videos. Are those videos on YouTube? Because I want to see
that. Right. There are videos somewhere, but not on YouTube.
Okay. All right. Are they on a hub website of a certain type? Because if they are, I'm on it.
Guys, I can't. Right now. I can't say yes or no, but what I will say is, I will say yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking I'm back.
Guys. Brother. Guys.
Yeah. Right. What?
So, tonight's quick and dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick.
Tonight's quick and dirty. Nim's not here. Aura's not here. TBL is here. But he's in a situation where he is actively on fire. So we need... Yeah. We need this.
But he's
quick.
Not in Australia. He's not in Australia.
This is not, different fire.
No, that is a different fire. That is a tragic fire. Yes. TBL's situation.
Is a funny fire.
TBL's situation is a funny fire. However, right, exclamation charity fun. In chat to donate to help fight the Australian bushfire. We'll be running. How long will we be running that, Josh? Do you know?
Till the 31st.
Till the 31st. We'll be raising funds for them. So. Click that link. It's a Tiltify link brought to you and set up by the Destiny Down Under guys. Excellent folks there.
On top of that, I would say check out the Bungie t-shirt when that comes out.
Yes.
It's going to look amazing. Yeah. Two, that emblem is like, I'm going to wear it probably forever. Like I can't remember the earthquakes, but it was like the Philippines, I think, the earthquakes there. I donated to that. I love that emblem. I've been wearing that for like 2 years since it happened. I've never taken it off. This one might actually replace it.
The first emblem, the special emblem they did in Destiny, was that in the Philippines?
I think it was. I can't remember.
I think that was. Wild. Yeah, I think that was the benefit. The aid to the Philippines.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was earthquakes, right? Earthquakes.
It was like earthquakes and tsunamis from the earthquakes and like all
that.
Insane. So,
So, exclamation charity in chat on Twitch. Anytime you see us live, go there, donate to such a good cause. So we have that. What else am I missing here? Okay, so we're going to try to keep this quick and dirty.
Quick and dirty.
We're going to try to keep it quick and dirty.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to take a montage of how many times Dan says that.
Somebody's going to have to. I have a feeling this isn't going to be the last of these quick and dirties. So.
Not if I have anything to say.
Not if I have anything to say about it either. I think a quick and dirty is fine.
Oh, hey, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys. Anyways.
Oh my gosh.
Welcome to Planet Destiny. Episode 223, Satanic Woo! Sidearms. Woo! I am one of your co-hosts. I am Dan Finity. I am taking the reins. TBL, I love you, But for the quick
my
and dirty,
my hands are too on fire to do anything.
Exactly.
Take it,
for the quick and dirty, I feel I need to take over the whole thing. Iceman.
Yep. Hi.
Welcome. Thank you. Little bit about who you are in the Destiny community, even though we already know and we love you.
I've been part of Planet Destiny for a couple months now. I think I can't believe that.
Yes.
I have my channel, Iceman_1H. I do a ton of Destiny stuff. I've done helps and PvE, PvP, Legends, comp, high level raids, comp, or high level challenges, all that kind of stuff. I freaking love Destiny. Been playing since the beginning in beta. So, yeah, that's it.
Heck yeah. What day do you normally stream to the Planet Destiny Twitch?
I stream on Planet Destiny typically every Thursday from 1 to 4 Central.
Excellent.
Every now and then varies up because of schedule and different things in life, but that is usually when I'm there.
He also has a wonderful dog. Wonderful.
Yeah, his name's Lincoln. He's a corgi. He's freaking adorable. Yeah.
Little corgi.
Little corgi. Yeah. Josh.
Hello.
You're in the hot seat now.
I'm in the hot seat.
You're not in the hottest seat.
I approve of the first take there. I am the hot.
That is getting edited into something else.
Yeah, I'm not as hot. I'm not in as a hot of a seat as TBL over here. But warm. I am Joshua JJB2. I also stream on Planet Destiny on Tuesdays from 8 to 11 Mountain Time or 11 to 1 Eastern Time. And I do a lot of PvE things in Destiny. I would like to say that I do PvP things in Destiny, but I'm not very good at them. But I still like all the weapons and stuff that come from that. I do another podcast of my own called Karma's Revenge as well on the side. And I just love Destiny. So
excellent.
Yes, yes.
So what's your sign?
What's my sign?
Yeah, what's your sign? What's your astrological sign?
I have to think about that for a little bit for me. I'm Sagittarius. Yeah.
You're Sagittarius? Well, okay.
Yeah, on the spot here.
All right.
This is a quick and dirty. You got to be on it, man.
I'm sorry. Aries.
Aries. You're an Aries. Yes.
The god of war.
Ooh.
The god of war.
And finally, my buddy, the hottest man in the room, the Blackling.
So true.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's up, everybody? I am warm. I am sweating. Starting to sweat just a little bit. The quick and dirty. Just get this out of the way for everybody. Some people were busy tonight. Me personally, it's 85 degrees in my house right now, and my air conditioner broke. So we're making this a very quick podcast because as I'm speaking, the fire is moving closer towards me. And if I happen to drop out midstream, you'll know why.
Oh,
I'm
we're going to
nice we're toasty not, TBL.
We're not going to let that happen. Currently, we are 8 minutes into a quick and dirty. I'm adding 30 minutes to the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I gotta. Okay, there we go. All right, there we go. All right, quick and dirty. 30 minutes to the clock. We are going to try to keep this as short as possible.
Okay.
As short as possible.
Go. Let's hit it.
How was your week in Destiny? What did you think of the legendary sundial and the Devil's Ruin sidearm?
I'll start. I was pretty disappointed in legendary sundial. I thought they would have actually changed few mechanics and added in some different things. And I didn't think that it was going to be a 950 encounter. I was assuming it was going to be 980. Yeah. I was assuming it was going to be very challenging. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that's still coming because a lot of triumphs say complete in at least legend, at least. So I'm hoping that 980 comes with the future events that are on the way. So that's my opinion on sundial, and I will save the sidearm next, but what do you think, Josh?
So I thought that what I really hoped is I kind of expected it not to be matchmaking because the menagerie wasn't. But I thought it would be 980 as well. And, you know, at least like give a weapon or something like the menagerie did, you know, like not just an emblem or something. You know, like I know that's cool that there was an emblem, but I mean at least give us something to strive for in actually trying to get people to do the legendary sundial. There wasn't very much to promote that. And I, you know, I was just like, oh, okay, well, I'll get around to it, but it's not my main priority. Especially with the dawning stuff going on too. It was kind of just like,
what I thought, you know, the carrot was going to be the sidearm. But yeah, after we got done with it, people were like, no, you can just do the normal and the sidearm drops from there too. Like, oh,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of insane. How long did it take you to get the sidearm?
How long did it take you to get the sidearm? Like 15 minutes, literally.
Yeah, like 20 minutes.
About half the length of this episode.
At the last step to do the sidearm for a legendary sundial. That would have made like way more sense, but
yeah. And the one pinnacle that you get is okay. Like, it's a nice pinnacle reward for people. So I'm glad they put that in. But other than that, legendary sundial, there's nothing that excites me at all. So
yeah, it's definitely an interesting kind of an interesting scenario here, because of course there wasn't really anything new with a legendary sundial. There wasn't, mechanically speaking, there was nothing too different there, which I can't honestly say that I expected, because I expected this to be a lot like the menagerie, where the only thing that they would change is maybe a modifier that boots you to orbit if everybody wipes or something like that. I didn't think anything would change with the encounters.
Right.
But the difference here is that, of course, there were specific rewards tied behind heroic mode of the menagerie. You had those swords you could get from it. You had the Izanagi Burdens catalyst that was tied behind heroic menagerie. And kind of all of that is missing from the Legend Sundial. Outside of that one pinnacle drop, there's really no reason to jump in there. And it's also, I agree with you guys, a pretty curious choice that it's a 950 activity rather than at the very least 960, you know, requiring people to at least be 960 or 970 or something like that. I think maybe kind of missed the ball here with that activity, because the sundial is still fun. I enjoy the sundial. It's fun to go through and play.
I agree.
But I ran Legend once and I'm never going to do it again because there's no reason to. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Hard. It's hard finding a team of people that are willing to run Sundial as well.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of people that were willing to have already done it, and now they're all like us, like, oh, why would I do that again?
Don't need to do it again.
Sure, a pinnacle, but what does that really matter? You know, like pinnacles are okay, but it's not changing the game by any means.
So. If anything, with this, I saw the complaint about Devil's Ruin not being tied to heroic. I don't think they ever would have done that because, you know, it's a non-matchmaking activity and they don't want to lock people out of getting that.
Agreed.
But
agreed.
Putting the catalyst for it maybe something else there to actually entice people to jump in there and run it. Even run it more than once. Like I said, with the getting the swords from heroic menagerie, you know, it felt like there should have been some kind of other reward that you could run Legend Sundial for. Because right now it's just an activity that you don't need to do after your initial.
Like I said, maybe there's one more coming where all of that, like the last part of Menagerie that we love so much, maybe that's still coming. Because if you read those triumphs, they say at least Legend. But that usually means there's something after that. We'll see.
I don't know.
We do still have another boss coming, right?
We do. The Triune. The one who people are speculating is all three sisters possibly combined.
Captain Planet.
Yeah, Captain Planet style.
Yeah, or Power Rangers of Megazord. Like, what is this? Megazord, right? Yeah, okay.
By our powers combined. So I played that this week on Tuesday. Did it once. I don't think ever again until until like...
Right.
After whenever that boss shows up.
Yep.
I don't know. And like, we have the Empyrean Foundation coming up in a couple weeks. We have that new boss. Mm-hmm. We have Bastion. Yep. Is that this coming week?
It's the 29th, I think.
29th. So like it's in 2 weeks.
The 28th. Yeah.
28th. Yeah.
So we've got that coming up in a couple weeks. I heard that like leaked on the web.
It did, and some I didn't see it, but apparently the whole somebody leaked even like game footage of it, gameplay of
really
like firing it and stuff. I don't know how they got it or whatever, but
I think it was, so the tweet that I saw was from True Vanguard, and it was about possibly it being filmed while at a live event. And yeah, so I don't know.
Oh, the UK event, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, if you did this and you used it, like, basically, if you go to a live event like that and Bungie pays for everything you do and you take a video like that and post it on the internet as a leak, like, you're the reason why more opportunities like that don't happen.
Oh, that sucks.
So
I'm glad I haven't seen that yet. I don't want that ruined for me.
I haven't either. But yeah.
Like, yeah, the Destiny community on Twitter have been pretty good shutting that down.
Mm-hmm.
I know there have been other things that have held their attention, which I'm not going to get into, but I, you know, like, I'm glad they kind of, you know, everybody's just been like, you know, no, you know, hands off sort of things.
Mm-hmm. Legend Sundial? Right. Is that what you're talking about, Josh?
No, oh, the whole thing with the Bastion. good.
I tried to circle it back around, but
yeah, Nem's right. The new boss isn't until February 4th with the Imperium Foundation, which I'm hoping is that 980 version that we were talking about.
Yeah, like, that'd be
a
cool,
more fleshed out version of it.
Yeah,
or you know, it could be Niobe Labs.
Oh, I would love that.
I really hope.
I want a puzzle that will keep the community busy. That's so difficult that will keep the community busy for over a week. Honestly, at this point, like, I hope for something that's that crazy, but I seriously doubt that's gonna happen.
I mean, I like those puzzles, but next time make sure that the hints for those puzzles aren't missing from the game.
While
people are trying to get it done.
True.
I know we're supposed to be keeping tangents to a short measure here. Don't don't whip me, Dan. I'm already fire.
That wasn't even a threat.
You can see it in his eyes, his like facial feature.
I feel the anger.
It's quick and dirty, but it's as quick and dirty as we want to get.
Just a quick and dirty show. But like, I love the entire notion behind Niobe Labs. It was such a crazy puzzle. And the fact that people were able to get as far into it as they did without the hints that were supposed to be there available blows my mind. Because it was
unreal.
Such an insane puzzle. And I'd love to see more stuff like that, you know, in the future of Destiny. Absolutely. And who knows? Maybe that's something to do with the Imperium Foundation. Who knows?
Do you think that they'd add more like physical difficulty rather than like a Dance Dance Revolution style puzzle?
Well, I mean, that it was pretty difficult challenge when you got into the last ends there due to the light level that we were at. Those fights when you had to start killing like the two bosses at the same time was
yeah, that was tough.
Pretty tough.
Yeah, that was.
You had to have a fire team that knew what they were doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would like to add to that. I totally agree with that. They should add in like puzzles and stuff like that. But not only does it keep the community engaged, it keeps people from like Glad from breaking the game because they're actually doing something.
Nothing will keep him from breaking the game.
True.
Nothing.
I can't.
But it'll distract him for a little bit at least. Like,
So that was a thing that came up this week too. The hammer bit.
Oh.
So what
Pocket
was
it? Worm gods.
Oh my god. Yeah, so what all was involved in that glitch?
So basically you could stack it up to its max. You could take the exotic off, but instead of the timer going to zero and you losing that perk, you could put the exotic back on and you had an infinite timer in the background on that buff until you started building the buff again. And then they discovered that you could double stack 1-2 punch with 2-1-2 punch shotguns. So the timer on one would not end before the second one went off and you would immediately punch. You would stack that twice. Okay. So then it just kind of kept like exponentially increasing the damage to a point where it was just ridiculous. But the main thing was just a damage perk that the only way to balance it was to make it run out in time and you had to keep getting kills to refresh it.
Yeah,
they found a way around that by swapping the exotic off and back on.
Right, so they swapped exotics.
I watched the video. I didn't realize what he was doing at the time. I watched him swap between the two, But holy shit.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's intense. Like,
yeah.
That takes some high level of thinking there. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's probably been in the game since the start. It's just, there are so many other broken things. We just never had to get to that point. So it's like, once they patch one thing, they find the next and the next and the next.
Yeah. Nim Plays brings up an interesting thing in the chat. He said, there's also a shader you get called Lighthouse Sun that you'll get from contributing to the Empyrean Restoration, which seems to need contributions of Fractaline for it. Do you think this is how they bring the Lighthouse back? Like, do they bring Trials back through this restoration?
Maybe. Hopefully they ban every cheater in the game and fix that before they do.
Yeah, but can we get that done
hopefully
first?
It doesn't take 5k Fractaline to do it.
Oh, Lord.
Everyone's saying 5k. I don't know if that was, like, heard somewhere, but
I
like
think,
I've been hearing 5k
for a month.
I think
that was from a, you know, somebody who looked into the PC back end of it.
Data mine.
Yeah, data mine.
Okay.
So that's not confirmed. I'm pretty sure that's just somebody who data mined it.
And 5K, like, realistically, as long as you play a little bit, 5K is not bad to get.
Yeah.
Especially once you have your obelisk upgraded, you have the high percent chance of getting drops, you have those items that increase even further. Like, you can stack 100 pretty quickly as long as you just play relatively casually.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool to be a community event.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be very cool. I think because that would make a lot more sense than individual people just having a high bar for individual people. If they did like a big community event for everyone, that would be really cool. Like the last one they did was awesome.
Yeah.
I really like that. I wish they kind of did more of that kind of thing when it's a little bit slower and stuff like that. Because it really gets, you know, people in the game still and excited about it. And
yeah. And I mean, you saw how many people played it. We crushed every single milestone within days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like it means a lot to people. And especially if you have a good carrot at the end, like a cool emblem, a shader, like all the cosmetic things they can do, they can make some pretty cool stuff for it.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. when you give this community challenges, we go out of our way to destroy those challenges.
We do. Most of the time. We really do.
Just if they were to do community events again, I would just hope that the rewards next time are a bit better.
Yeah.
You know, a bit more worth people's time. Yeah. Give them an exclusive emblem, you know, an exclusive shader or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
But that's been something with each event. With every iteration of activity is we need something in order to chase in Destiny 2, and we kind of keep hitting that same wall. Like we hit the wall,
right,
and then they learn from it, but then we end up hitting that same wall again, which is weird. It's like a weird Freaky Friday type situation. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
it's part of the conundrum of really of content creation here with Bungie, because right now with the team they've got, they're working to create things for players to do and try to keep ahead of players finishing everything that they've made and then, you know, experiencing a little bit of that burnout.
Yeah.
It's them straddling that line of like an MMO, where MMOs, the big benefit of things like of games like Final Fantasy 14 or World of Warcraft is that the games are so huge. There's so many things you can do that you'll never really run out of things to chase. And unfortunately, I don't know if Bungie can keep that kind of content creation up. It's why we get things like seasons for 3 months and then we wait a little bit to get some more content, you know?
Right. And I think it definitely hurt them to lose. What was the studio that did a lot of the cool puzzles and stuff like that?
There was Vicarious Visions.
Vicarious Visions. To lose them was a major hit because obviously they're very good at what they did. And I'm sure that Bungie loved the help that they gave and the time that they took off their own staff and them doing that.
Right.
We know if Bungie is reestablishing a relationship with them.
Well, they're owned by Activision. They will put them on different projects as they see fit, as it affects their bottom line. Right now, with Bungie off on their own as a free spirit in the gaming industry, I mean, it's really up to their whim and vision at this point. So
I've got to say, though, If you guys have looked at the Bungie careers page recently, there are a lot of positions open. A lot of positions. So they're gearing up for something. I'm not going to say what, because we all know what it is, and I'm not, we're not going to, you know,
we're all in a club. We know what it is, but you don't
We all know what it is.
You don't know, and we're not going to tell you.
But I'm just saying, they're gearing up for something big.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, filtering content right now, biding time and waiting for new console generations to come out or whatever they're, you know, like whatever they're waiting for, building the game. So there are good things to come.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We just have to wait.
Open.
Yeah.
Josh Hunt, on Twitter, he's from like light.gg and a few other backend databases. He was talking a bit about like the philosophical change in the game. Like it feels like it's being like pulled between free to play and like a $60 game.
Yeah.
And that's a strange place for it to be in right now. And I think that's a lot of like the growing pains that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are coming from, in, at least in the community. It could be like, I don't know. I'm excited if there is a Destiny 3 or just a Destiny Online type scenario in a new console generation. I'm looking forward to it, but I think they're going to be at a crossroads where they're going to have to choose a little bit.
Right. Not like, you know, double dip almost in the free to play and $60. Cause I mean, it's nice that you're getting both, but at the same time, you know, the two models clash very hard. So
yeah.
And
that, I think we've talked about this before on the show. I think that comes back to the type of game that Bungie wants to make and whether or not they have the manpower to make it. Because if they want to go free to play and just have a, well, I think eventually we're going to have to move away from Destiny 2 and it'll be a new game that they start. And that's where we'll see what model they're going to do, either a free to play model or a normal premium style model. But if they're going free to play, then they need to figure out a way to make up for that loss of game sale revenue, which means they're going to have to be putting out a lot of content, much more content than what they put out now on a 3-month basis. And like you guys said, there's a lot of career page openings over there at Bungie. But who knows, man? I don't know if they have the manpower to kind of keep that sort of thing up right now.
Right. Yeah. And like, that's what I hope. That's what I hope is that it becomes sort of this like almost World of Warcraft thing where, you know, maybe we pay per month for it or something like that, but they just continually update it with content, fresh stuff. Maybe they add in all old raids and, you know, do everything like that. Like please. Everybody's been screaming for. I would love that. And I would totally be down with paying like, you know, $25 a month if they actually kept updating the game and like, you know, reinvigorating it and everything.
Well, I
don't know if it's that much, but
I think for the challenge player base, I think just upping the light level of a lot of challenges and allowing for those really, really high level where you have to have a fire team that knows what they're doing. You have to have the loadouts. You have to have all these things by being a hardcore player to even have a chance to make it through. It can be the same, a lot of the same stuff, maybe change some mechanics here and there if they can. But just upping the light level and just making it like obscenely high to the point where like reds feel like they're little mini bosses as you're killing them. Right. That wouldn't be a lot of development work, I would imagine. I don't know.
Right.
But
yeah,
that would keep the hardcore player base. And then obviously having like some kind of reward at the end to make it worth it. Maybe like they come up with a super hardcore title and there's a lot of insanely difficult triumphs that tie to that title, and there's only like 0.01% of people have it. Seriously, like that's that's one easy thing that they can do that people would be like, "Oh, that guy has that title? Holy crap! Like that guy's nuts!" Right. Like, now you're kind of like, "Oh, you have Enlightened? Cool, you did the Flawless of Garden. All right."
I want it to be called Super Hardcore though. Oh shit! Amazing. You see that guy? He's got Super Hardcore on.
Man,
you know what he went through? He lost his family to that title.
He gave up his wife and kids.
Guys, we have a super hardcore in lobby. Super hardcore.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So we're actually getting toward the end of the quick and dirty, and we haven't.
I was about to say time. What's the time?
We haven't quite talked about the Devil's Ruin sidearm.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
What are your thoughts? I took it into the Crucible on Tuesday after getting it. It was like it felt like a squirt pistol fight. But
yeah, it was great.
Outside of that, that was it. Put it away.
So people compared it, and I like this comparative. It's like a 10K. It's not a whole thousand voices, but it's a 10K voices.
Yeah,
or it's a 100 voices. You know, it's like a 10 voices or something, or 12 voices. Yeah. I love that because that's exactly what it is. Does a lot of like splash damage and stuff like that, and it's almost just exactly like that. It's just not as powerful. So,
have you guys perfectly shot it yet?
How do you mean?
So I think intended,
the auto reload thing where you can shoot it, and I have.
So it could be an insanely high DPS weapon. I feel like maybe not like the best, but for primary ammo, if you charge it up and you release within like what seems like a 5 millisecond window, the gun, there's like a much bigger laser beam that comes out of it, mm-hmm. and then it automatically reloads your gun, so you can start firing again. So if you keep doing that back to back to back, you can put up some pretty good damage. But I think out of 50 times that I tried, I got it once.
It's really hard to do.
But if that was easier and you could do that, it might actually make the gun somewhat viable in certain scenarios. If you can just keep pumping out DPS, but you do it as a reward for being precise on your timing.
That could be a cool niche for that gun. Yeah. And you know, that's funny because the exotic trait that's on it basically reads that way and says if you fully charge it, it restores ammo from reserves. And that's not what it does outside of this weird little glitch anyway. If they were to take that and like maybe extend that window just a little bit so that it's humanly possible, that could be a pretty cool way to bump that gun up.
Like add that as the catalyst for it. That'd be perfect.
Oh,
that would be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Enhance that window. So
like Nim said, a lot of people are saying it's a bug, but why would they design a larger laser beam if it was a bug?
I see. I don't know. I want to believe, but we're
not a bug. It's a feature.
Yeah, but we're seeing what's going to be happening to my Wish Ender bow in like a week.
Mad about it.
It's not a feature. It's a bug, and they will squash it probably. I think something like that brings like a high skill gap to it.
Mm-hmm.
To the game or to firing a weapon, and it should reward people who are able to do that. But if that's a bug, then they're gonna squash that thing.
I played a little PvP with it. I hopped in comp to help some people, and one of my first games was against Fox Packs, who I get him all the time. I love Fox, but dude's insane good at the game. He was using that pistol. You can make like I didn't really like it the first time I tried it in PvP. That thing absolutely slays if you use it effectively in PvP. You have a lot of ammo for it. You don't have to worry about special ammo. There's a lot of, I feel like you can get away with a bad scenario with that gun pretty easily.
It's very forgiving. The first thing I noticed when I was.
Thank you, forgiving.
Yeah, that was one of the first things I noticed when I took it out into PvP. And of course, you know, whenever this quest took like 15 minutes, and we could talk about that in a second. Right. But my first experience may have been a little bit tainted because literally everybody was using it in PvP. But I took it into a couple of games after that, and it's a very solid sidearm. If you're somebody who likes to use sidearms, this thing is as stable can be, whether or not you're using mouse and keyboard or controller. I tied it out on controller too, and it's super duper stable. It's got really decent range. That's what really surprised me on it. Yeah. Outside of the laser, it's got really decent range and snappiness to it. It was really easy to keep it to tag heads with it. And the laser itself is stupidly strong. You can one shot just about everyone in PvP with it from, you know, decently far into that mid-range area. It's not something you're going to want to use against, you know, that perfect shotgun rushing ape, but it's a solid gun. It's solid for the goofy loadout there. It's not the best gun in PvP, but I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Caesar said, I think earlier, like, there need to be some fun guns in the game. Every gun should not be like the best, most viable thing in the world.
Right.
Like, there should be some fun guns. Like, yeah, I want to run around with my 100 voices and just shoot something. Like,
my 100 voices.
Yeah. Yeah.
The, yeah. Nim in chat was saying, handful of voices. Gray Fox. A gaggle of voices. Oh, man. Yeah. So, what did you guys think of the mission to get the weapon?
It was cool.
Yeah.
It was cool. So it was definitely cool. Like, they definitely, like, with the voice acting and stuff, they definitely tried and stuff like that to make it, you know, interesting and stuff. But I just still don't think it was enough to satisfy people, especially after that, you just, like, go into, what's the name of that?
Twilight Gap.
Twilight Gap, and, you know, find 10 robots and then you're done or whatever.
That's
you know, like, I guess if you're into the lore and stuff, it's really cool. If you wait all the 240 seconds or whatever, there's some interesting tidbits in there.
Shaq Sings, right? You know,
Shaq Singing was amazing, dude.
That was great. Yeah.
So amazing. I would definitely stick around for that if anybody in the chat or anything hasn't done that yet. I would definitely stick around and wait because there are some really cool moments in that. But other than that, there wasn't really much to be said about it.
You know, it's as simple as this. You go and you run one normal run of the sundial, you get the frame, then you just go to Twilight Gap and find 10 robots in about, you know, 45 seconds and you're finished.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people were talking about that. I'm not necessarily that upset with it. I think I don't mind some shorter exotic quests and I don't mind longer ones. Like the quest to get the last word in Thorn, I thought was an appropriate length. It had some awesome objectives tied to it, you know, both PvP and PvE. I think it was it Thorn that lets you do it either in PvP or PvE?
Yes.
Yep.
There's a variable.
I thought that was fine. And while this quest was super duper short, I wasn't really expecting it to be anything longer. Yeah, sure. Maybe they could have, you know, added an additional step of running around and killing something else to get some weapon frames. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just becoming that Destiny casual guy who's just like, ooh, new thing. And it didn't take me 7 hours of grinding to get.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe that's where I am so now.
And it was account wide.
Yeah, it was easy.
And like seeing online on Twitter and stuff, like playing devil's advocate for a moment. You know, there were some people in the Destiny community who are, you know, super casual and stuff, which is fine. And they were like, this was perfect. You know, I got, you know, like I was in there, I played my one match or whatever, and then I got did the robots and what all that, and it didn't take me very long. I could do it all in one sitting. It was great. I loved it because I didn't have to wait for multiple nights to do it because I only had like an hour to play or whatever. So I would say it's good, I guess, that they're catering to not just the hardcore audience, but at the same time, as one of the hardcore people who play Destiny, I wish it was hardcore. So
and I can understand that.
That's, I think Bastion, if that data leak was correct, Bastion's going to be a lot more involved. So maybe this one was like the casual one and Bastion's going to be more of the hardcore one.
Right.
We'll see. I would love they had a secret one that we don't know about that is an amazing mission that we just find.
Oh.
I need one of those in my life very soon. Yeah.
0 hour was in the Season of Opulence, right? Was that Season of Opulence?
I don't know.
We got Outbreak perfected. If so,
good question.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Bad Juju was.
That was Bad Juju. Right. Yeah, that was Bad Juju. Yeah. Was that one? 0 hour was that
Outbreak
Gambit?
Prime,
or was that
or was it Forsaken? Just base Forsaken.
It was a while ago. This is longer ago than I thought it was.
Dear,
it was 2 seasons ago. It wasn't the last season.
0 hour.
The season after.
0 hour was Ada.
That
was even longer ago than I was thinking, because my point was going to be, it's been a while since we had one of those secret quests for an old exotic, and I think we might be about primed for another one. And
yeah,
if they hopefully, I really hope follow that trend. Cool.
Follow that trend and give me my Vex Mythic Last Bungie, please. Hand it over.
I don't want to know about it. I want it to be found, and everyone in the community is like, "Holy, this
wait
is
a second, right. This portal wasn't here before." Yeah, I love that.
I kind of feel like the last season was a little bit more prime for that with all the Vex stuff on the moon.
Yep.
Yeah.
But oh well.
Yeah, we'll see what the rest of that story brings out as well.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to finish up by saying, I think when it comes to the length of the exotic quests, we've got all different types of quests here for exotics in Destiny 2. And for something as small as, you know, the Devil's Ruin is, with it not being some game-breakingly powerful thing, unless, you know, not a bug, it's a feature. I think having a shorter quest is fine. If you're going to drop Gjallar Horn into the game, put that behind a quest. If you're going to drop the Touch of Malice into the game, put that behind a quest.
Pre-nerf Touch of Malice.
I want to kill myself and everything around me.
Yeah.
But I think for something like this, we've got Bastion coming in a couple of weeks. That's from the data leak. It's probably going to be a bit more involved. I think this was fine. Yeah, it's just a small little goofy exotic.
A little trifle.
Not even. It's just a little trifle. It's meant to be a 20-30 minute experience.
Yeah. Well, in the last word in the Thorn, those are like legendary weapons. They brought with them a lore and a gravitas to the quest line itself that they were a part of. And I mean, this thing's new. I like it because it's actually truly exotic with the alternative firing method.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I like it. I like weird. Give me more weird, please. But like,
good stuff.
I want to. Yeah, I don't know. All right. So we've been pretty good. We've been fairly good. I want to say that we're about 40 minutes right now.
All right. Perfect.
Better than I thought.
What I want to do, since we're doing this quick and dirty experiment, I want to ask one question. And that question comes from BG Rising. Okay. I have a serious question. Prior to Twitch and streaming, developers were not struggling to create enough content to keep a majority of the player base engaged in their games. Do you think streaming has pushed the envelope beyond what the developers can handle? And what is the solution to the conundrums many devs are facing? That's a hefty question. We're going to be here for another 40 minutes.
Big question.
Second half of the show. So I think yes and no is the answer to that, because there were certainly people speed running and blowing through game content before, you know, Twitch became a thing. I think Twitch has helped to facilitate it in a greater form. When I think of this kind of question, it kind of reminds me of the old school days. It's going to be a weird reference, but it reminds me of the old days of speed running in games like Mario Kart or Mario Kart 64.
Oh, okay.
Back before, because there's a huge community for speedrunning in Mario Kart 64. Mm. That's been a thing literally since like the late 90s. And of course, back then, we didn't have Twitch. We didn't even have Justin TV, for those old enough to remember what Twitch used to be called. And I kind of compare that a lot to this. People were still blowing through and doing speedruns of Mario Kart 64 before Twitch was a thing. When Twitch became a thing, more people started doing it because more people could watch how it was done. It's kind of like Niobe Labs. If people streaming Niobe Labs greatly increased the speed at which Niobe Labs was solved. And we see that every single time a new raid drops. People are streaming, they slowly figure things out, and because they're streaming, information is shared instantly. So we push through that content fairly quickly. So I think there is a bit of truth to that, in that current content creation platforms do help players push through content a little bit quicker, but it's certainly been happening before then as well.
Yeah.
As long as there are games, people are going to blow through them.
So I think not only Twitch and streaming have done this, but also how we're able to access the internet today. Because before, nobody was able to access the internet. And not only did that affect like people playing online together, but it also affected game companies getting updates out to their game.
Yeah.
Because once you shipped a game, that was it. You couldn't fix it any more than it was. yep. You know, like, it was done. You know, they dusted their hands of it, and it was done. So, you know, there are some games, you know, they tried to fix in later iterations of it or whatever, but some are just completely broken. So, I think that has a lot to do with it as well. Not only Twitch and streaming, which contributes to it, but just the fact that we're connected to the internet. And we can do things like, oh, hey, I want to play with my friends in Australia. They just log on and we play together, and you know, and there's no like dial up, you know, dial tone or whatever, you know, you just go and play. It's great. So I think there's more of a need for developers to go out of their way to provide as much stuff for someone that they can do. And there's more open world focused games out there now. Dragon Age, their latest game was open world and they weren't before. Mass Effect, their latest game was open world and it wasn't before. Zelda, their latest game was open world and they didn't have any open world games before. And there's way much more content in those than the other games. There's a lot more content. So I definitely think there's just an overall like desire to consume games, and it's just a bigger of a part of the market. So
I think Mills made a good point that content creation in general accelerates time, because like the elite players, they just fast as they can, they can get the content out first. So that helps. But in games like, so Final Fantasy 14, I feel like is one where there's always content. They do such a good job with putting content out. And I think a major part of that plays into how difficult some of that content is to do. Some of the ultimate raids and some of like really, really high level stuff is purely like, there's obviously different mechanics and stuff in it, but it's purely a difficulty factor that doesn't allow people to get there. But a lot of those people, they know how to do it, but they want to spend the time just grinding the crap out of it for months as a team before they finally get it. That's, I think Destiny is seriously lacking stuff like that right now. It's much more like, well, like 70% of the player base can do it pretty easily within the first like 2 weeks. Like, we need some things that take months, except for like the elite of the elite, to be able to do stuff like that. But how they do that, I don't know.
I would love it if Bungie could take some of the lessons that Yoshi P and his team have learned throughout their history of Final Fantasy 14 and implement it there. Why don't we have EX raids in Destiny? I would love that. It'd be great. Yeah.
And then Ultimate on top of that.
Yeah.
Like Ultimate is like, I think there's only 0.001% of people that play Final Fantasy have ever had a chance of clearing Ultimate.
Yeah.
Like, that type of stuff should exist in Destiny. It really, really should.
Right.
Yeah, like contest modifiers is a good way to do it. An all-time contest and different levels of a contest modifier. That stuff just makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and like, too, it's kind of just like the old Halo with the skulls or whatever. You know, like, you know, like you go through a Halo campaign and on, you know, like say you go through and you finally beat it on Legendary. And if you like the game enough, you know, put on a few skulls and then play it again, you know?
Yeah.
And just keep going through it on a higher difficulty. And I think that's kind of what they've done in Destiny. And you know, I kind of wish it was back the way the card was, because then you could modify it however hard you wanted it to go, and not just like, oh, here's a stunted version of it that you can play with matchmaking, which is great because it's matchmaking, but I just wish there was a better way those people could go and play it as hard as they want, you know, like eat your heart out, you know, like that sort of thing.
And BG, to your other part of that, it does take a lot of money to develop a game, but it doesn't take a lot of money to up challenge on existing content. Like, I think that literally, to me personally, that's the crux of where their content issue is right now. There's not enough to keep people going because all of it's slammed out in a month. Like the new content, the brand new stuff, that needs to still come.
Yeah.
But if you look at 14, they do it basically the same as Destiny, But people are much more appeased for a long period of time because there's a lot of challenges and things to keep going for within that set of content that you release at that time.
Yeah.
Well, and I think another thing is, too, is with the Destiny community, with the release of Destiny 2, they brought in, like, a whole bunch of the community and the fan base that was casual to the game.
Yes.
That didn't have a lot of time, and they just wanted to play a couple matches or a couple strikes, and then they were done for the week, and, you know, that was fine or whatever. Yeah. And so now we have this mixed match of people who are, like, hardcore, like, play 60 hours a week and, like, go through everything. And then we got these people who don't play a lot. And so they're kind of like, you know, I don't... Like, they want to cater to both audiences without, you know... and it's a really hard struggle, I think, for them. Yeah. Because they don't know what they want to do with it.
I don't know if they can for too long.
Yeah.
Like, we've been doing it for 5 years now. Yeah? Like, a close... Yeah. Like, five about, years now. Yeah. About. This about year was the years. Fifth year. Or 6 years.
Six years.
Pardon. Yeah, pardon. Six. Excuse me. I misspoke. But it's... Right now, there needs to be a lot of decisions being made about being okay with missing out.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the titles are entitlement a little bit. Here we go, yeah. Boomer Dan talking about entitlement. But I think, I don't know. You shouldn't expect to have everything in the game. Yeah. And there are some people who do. iLulu is insane. She is a wonderful gamer. iLulu
has literally everything in the game.
She's got everything. She's got everything. And she's worked really hard for it. But I, as somebody who now is playing Destiny about, what is it? About maybe 15 hours a week, 15 to 20 hours a week. Mm-hmm. That's only on stream. And most of the time for not for my own collection, but to help other people.
Right.
I don't expect to have everything handed to me. Like, there are some things that I know I'm not going to get.
Yep. Oh, you're not going to get Reckoner? Is that what you're telling me?
Fuck no. Why would I?
Somebody got time for that?
No.
I'm not either, and I play probably
Reckoner
way more
than
you.
Reckoner is a sore point with me, because I tried to get it, and it's really hard to get on Hunter.
Yeah, I applaud anybody who's, like, able to perform at max level. I know that's not me, though, and I'm not going to accomplish everything. I'm not going to get everything, and you have to... I think part of that is... them trying to feed into that fear of missing out while also being like, well, but don't miss out too much.
Right.
And there's kind of a weird disconnect in that methodology. I mean, they have a battle pass for a game that costs $60 when most battle pass games are free to play and don't really involve... like any activity outside of the one thing they're good at, and you just grind out the battle pass.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They're in a really weird. Yeah, they're in a weird spot philosophically and in the market. So, yeah.
Yep.
Well, and it doesn't help that they just, like, left one of the biggest companies in the world that were helping them and giving them a bunch of money to.
I think they're better for it.
No, I totally understand that. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm saying that just makes it all that much harder for them because they, you know, don't have a lot of money now and they are in a weird place and they, you know, they're doing all this and that. And I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing of finding what you're good at. Focusing on, this is what I'm having to learn this year. Maybe I'm just projecting. I don't know. But it's like finding what you're good at, focusing up on it, and making the best thing that you can instead of trying to appease everybody. Because you're not. You're just not going to.
Because then you become Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. Then you Oh, I have not seen it yet. Spoiler free. Spoiler free.
Hey, yeah, let's save that for a future podcast.
Yeah, you guys want to spoil it for me after we get done with this podcast?
That'll be another quick and dirty show, Dan.
All right, another quick and dirty show? Neat. All right. But with that, I think we've had a good conversation today.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was good.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah.
It was good. Quick. It was very good.
It was somewhat quick. We made
quicker
it
than we normally are. So, I want to go around, and I want everybody to say where people can find you on the internet, starting with Josh. Josh, what about you?
Oh, okay. So you can find me at JoshuaJJB2 on Twitter and on Twitch and pretty much anywhere else that you find people. And yeah, I do a Karma's Revenge podcast on the side that focuses on Destiny as well. And I usually stream every night, almost every night. So I do a later night at night show. So I get some of the people internationally and stuff, mm-hmm. which is really cool. And yeah, that's
so
where
can
you can
we
find
catch
me
you tonight after the show.
Yeah, can we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Right on.
Yeah.
There
you nice. Go. Ooh.
Ooh. Mm.
All right, Iceman, what about you?
Yep. So all of my socials, channel, everything, Iceman_1H. I stream 5 days a week generally, Monday through Friday, starting at about between noon and 1 Central. I usually go for 4 or 5 to 8 hours, depending on what's going on. And yeah, that's basically it. And then on the Planet Destiny channel, usually every Thursday that I can, from 1 to 4 mm-hmm. Central.
Heck yeah. TBL. I'm sorry if you're a puddle.
I was about to say, you can find me as a small chocolate puddle on your local street corner. That's where I am now, and that's what I am. You know, mate, everywhere on the internet, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all at the Black Link. Although you are not going to see any content, any streaming or anything like that until my AC gets fixed, because it is way too hot for me to be running this jet plane engine of a computer that I have without air conditioning. But hopefully yeah, we'll have
I hope
fixed.
You get that fixed really soon, man. That's miserable.
Florida's hot.
Yeah.
It is it is so weird that you got a computer that was built in the 1930s as a biplane. This is really
yeah,
weird.
Yeah. Somehow I was able to get my hands on it. It's one of the benefits of living next to a military airbase, you know? It's great. I just go through their garbage and I find all this cool stuff. Also might be why I'm a puddle right now. Thank you, maybe.
Should we do it to finish out the podcast?
Yeah, what about
or
you,
after,
Dan?
After we talk to
oh, me?
Dan?
Yeah, where do we find yes. you?
You can find me where on twitch.tv/DanFinity. 4 days a week. Tomorrow I'm going to be playing more Control. That's a real fun game if you haven't heard it yet or watched it yet.
It's on my list.
It's real good. I really love it. I like it a lot so far. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DanFinity, but the I's are L's. And outside of that, that's it. That's it. I want to end this like now so that Nim can like complain yeah. that it's never when he's on that we're under an
hold
hour.
The L. Hold the L.
I got this for you. I love you, buddy.
Oh, maybe he doesn't have one.
And
L's for Nim.
L's for Nim. F's in chat, please. Can we finish this out as we always do, TBL, with you doing the final playthrough?
In under 2 minutes. Go.
Under,
in
two,
under
minutes.
2 minutes.
You got to do it.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to episode 223 of the Planet Destiny podcast. Quick and dirty edition, baby. We are looking forward to seeing you all next week. Bye-bye, everybody.